What I want to preach to you tonight is going to be the start of a series, actually, for Wednesday nights, I believe, just for the next maybe 4 or 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so. It's a burden that's on my heart. Church planting is a burden that's on my heart, and I believe it's important, as you see in this community and everywhere, that there'd be a light that would shine in that community. And I'm not preaching this because we're ready to do anything right now. I'm not doing that because of that, because we're not. Okay, that's the future. But can you all hear me okay, or is this going to come across okay, Andrew? Is this going to come across okay? Or okay. I'm not preaching this because I'm trying to immediately prepare you for anything in particular. I want it to prepare you, but in the sense of for the future, okay? Not for anything right now. God has not given us a green light to do anything as of right now. So, that's future. That's not right. But the reason I'm bringing this to you is because I believe that there are stumbling blocks to church planting. And we're going to talk about one of those stumbling blocks tonight, and then we'll pick up in weeks to come on other ones. Now, there are many that are stumbling blocks. This one in particular that we're going to start with has to do with a building. I believe a building and that a desire for a building is a stumbling block to a church that wants to be to church planting. I think that, and I'll get into that and explain that. There's some other things that will hinder church planting as well. One of those is that my model, what I do, has to fit, has to meet the need, so to speak, of the generation, or to be seeker friendly in some ways. We pick on the seeker friendly churches, but really many Baptist churches are trying to do that. I have to have a youth department. I have to have all the Sunday school classes. I have to have everything to plant a church. And no, you don't. Another one is the song ministry. I have to have a song leader. I have to have the piano player. I have to have the instruments. I have to have everything that works in order to plant a church. No, you don't. We'll talk about that 1 week. No, you don't have to have that. That's not scriptural. That's not what the Bible says. You have nothing wrong with those things. Understand? But it's not. We don't have to have that to have church. And we don't have to have that to be a local New Testament church. Other things, I've got to, comparing ourselves among ourselves and taking all these sheets and comparing, well, how many people came and how many visitors and how many this and how many that, and showing all these things and all these numbers and trying to compare yourself to so-and-so down the road because so-and-so kept this list of everything. That means we have to do it here, and our results should be the same if we track our results. It's just like, it's not sales, folks. It's not a numbers game, as in that what people try to make it out to be. They try the marketing aspect that can hinder church planting as well. The 501c3 issue, as far as trying to organize under that, fill all these positions and do everything that the government is supposedly says when you take on their 501c3 status, is another thing that hinders, or it's a stumbling block to planting a church. It really is. It's a stumbling block. Other areas, that we'll talk about in weeks to come, and that are areas that are stumbling blocks to church planting. This is important because, folks, we're laying a foundation here that we're going to try to reproduce the same thing that we have done here. We're going to try to do that in another city by the grace of God. Amen. So we want the model to be simple. We want it to be first scriptural, second simple, amen, and biblical. So we understand that this can be reproduced again. You don't have to have all these other things. What other churches have, or what other to have church for it to, well, you know, if I don't have, well, we'll get into it anyway. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Here's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, that's the Great Commission. Very simple, isn't it? Very simple commission that is given. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21, I told you I've been thinking about this verse. I'll read it again to you because it bothers me. It really should shape everything that we do, amen, in the church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, it ought to be that everything that you and I do, amen, ought to be shaped to glorify Him. Everything done in the local church. Now we're going to talk about, 1 week we'll talk about the pragmatism that has entered into the churches, that has caused us to be pragmatic in our design of church, of planting a church. Those things, we'll talk about those. It's really left the simplicity. I preached on that verse to you, but I'm going to use it again sometime, but a different sermon. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. The simplicity of the body. The simplicity of what the Lord would have us to do. So understand that that's part of it too as well, and it's a very important part of it. As principled historic Baptists, we believe that the Great Commission is church planting. We believe that if you're going to go into all the world, and you're going to preach the gospel to every creature, and you're going to baptize them, and then you're going to disciple them, how do you do that? Do you do that just on your own, outside of the local body? No, you do it in the form of a church. Amen. The completion of that Great Commission is planting churches. Well, let me ask you something. How would you feel if I just sent a bus route here and I decided to stay in Rosemont and I just sent a bus route here once a week and said, well, hey, listen, we'll have a church service once a week here, but that's all you're going to get is a couple hours a week or 1 hour a week, and we won't make the commitment to plant a church here. We'll just try to disciple people from once a week for an hour a week. And well, that wouldn't do much good, would it? Not that we don't want to do that, but that may be part of our ministry, but that's not a church. That's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is baptizing, is leading them to Christ and baptizing them and then discipling them in the local New Testament church, forming a body, a local New Testament church. Amen? But something, we've heard it said before that missions is the heartbeat of God. But I disagree with that statement. I believe obedience and honoring Christ's commands is the heartbeat of God. I believe that one is the effect of a greater cause. My greater cause is what? That he might receive glory to the church throughout all ages. Amen. It's to glorify God. You say, isn't it to save the heathen? No, it's to glorify God. And we glorify God by leading people to Christ. But our motives and our reasons is a personal walk with Jesus Christ. It is not because people are going to hell. I want people to get saved too. Yes, I understand people are going to hell. But I honor Christ by obeying his commands. Amen? So we understand that obedience is the heartbeat of God. God said that to Samuel, or to Saul. And Samuel said that God would have obedience rather than sacrifice. Amen? He said, I want your obedience. God wants your obedience. If he has your heart of obedience, then guess what? All those other things you'll do. You say, I don't know if I believe you. Well, let me tell you this. If you're obedient to God first and to glorify God and you're obedient to him, if God asks you to give money, will it be a problem for you to give money? No, because you'll be obedient to God. You've already decided obedience is what you'll do. Amen? You already decided you'll have a heart of obedience. So if God asks you to read your Bible, to pray, to study, to soul win, to do whatever, you will do those things because you want to be obedient to God, because you've already made the decision to honor God, to obey him. Honor is obedience. It's obeying him because we honor him. We've gotten this thing skewed, and it's changed our methods, and it's really caused things to be really hard to do, to plant churches. There's stumbling blocks to churches today, to church planting. We've been told that, well, you have to have this certain amount of numbers. Well, I was told this, and I'll be open and frank with you. I was told when this church was planted that we had to have 40, we had to have offerings of $1,000 a week, we had to have all these things in order for us to be separated. Now, that didn't happen because I pushed the issue. And I'm not worried at all about this being online, by the way. I want it to be online because I'm not running from anything I'm saying. I'm not being unkind, I'm not being ungrateful, I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. Just being completely direct. Now, if you think that we as a body are going to go start birth another church, and I'm going to look at that person, I'm going to say, well, listen, now you have to have 40 members, you have to have $1,000 a week in offering, otherwise we're not going to separate this church. Can I ask you one thing? Now, what do you think my question would be if somebody told me that? What do you think I would say to them? What do you think my first response would be if somebody said that? Yes, but what would I bring it back to? Thank you. What does the Bible say? Is that in the Scriptures? Okay, well then if it's not there, then what is it? Well, that's vain philosophies of men. That's traditions of men. That's human understanding. Do you understand that by all points and purposes, your pastor should not right now, according to the laws of this world, I mean, in the understanding of this world and the human reasoning, and probably some of your reasoning, I should not be surviving off what I am making right now? Do you understand that? That if I went by human reasoning, do you understand that what you people are giving, and I'm not complaining, don't misunderstand. I'm not doing that. Because you don't know what you're giving. Amen? But, I mean, collectively, you don't really know. But what, and by the way, when somebody says, well, they should know, that's the Lord, that's our money. No, it's not our money, it's the Lord's money. It's not our money. Once you put it in there, you say, Lord, this is yours. As an offering unto the Lord. That doesn't mean it's ours collectively. Where do you get that from? Who says? Amen? Amen. But they would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I had somebody that's not a member here. They come up to me and say, well, how are you going to survive? You don't have a salary on here. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, the last 2 months, I've not brought in hardly any extra income. I mean, from outside sources. I've not. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean I'm rolling in the dough or anything. It can be tight sometimes. But not to the point that I'm worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Amen? I trust the Lord. And if we had a need, I'd come to you and I'd tell you we had one. Amen? But God has taken care of us. Now, my point is that human reasoning and everything else is that these are stumbling blocks. I'll probably get to that later on down the road, but they're stumbling blocks to church planting. Well, you got to have this, you got to have that. Who says? Where? Where does it say that at? And that was the whole thing that after I talked to Brother Alexander, I remember this was about a year and a half ago, and I said, Brother Alexander, I can't believe this was said to me. And I showed him what was said to me, and he said, well, did you ask him where it was in the Bible? Did you ask him where the scripture was on that? There ain't one scriptural reference as to what you need to do. Not one! So then it makes you wonder, wait a minute now, where'd that come from? Well, it comes from corporatism is where it comes from. It comes from corporate America. It's being a corporation. You got to make sure your investment does well. But I didn't get into this to be in business. I left the business world. I don't want anything to do with it. I can't stand it, to be honest with you. I mean, after I was called to preach the gospel, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't really want anything to do with it. I want God to bring more families in here. I want us to go reach more families for Christ. And I don't want to do anything else but this. I've got a lot of writing projects. I've got a lot of things God wants me to do. And this is what I've been called to do. And I have no attraction to what the world offers. I don't want it. Amen? I don't want it. But as Principled Historic Baptists, we believe that Great Commission ought to be fulfilled by planting. It is fulfilled by planting churches. But over the last 100 years or so, church planting and the assembly itself has been infused with a humanism that has caused stumbling blocks to church planting. Why? Humanism. Human reasoning has entered into it. And I'm going to give you the first one, which I believe is the number one, biggest one. And I was guilty of it myself. But it was the number one. It's the number one, I believe. Number one, the first stumbling block, we must own property to validate our church as a church. Amen. That is the first stumbling block, I believe. We must, some of you were not here when we first started. Now, Lee and Carrie were here when we first started, and Mom and Dad were here when we first started. And we have been through some different possible building plants. I mean, four or five different ones. And even before I knew Lee and Carrie and that I went through some at the Sending Church, I went through some building. And I mean, when I first started, I was promised a building with an apartment and everything, all in there, and a 2.5 acre plot that we had looked at purchasing. Everything was getting ready to go through, and then boom. And then they said, nope, you have to wait a year to even start the church. So then another building, we tried to buy the yellow building down the road there. That fell through like twice. We tried to buy the one across the street, but it was nothing but a shack, so we didn't buy that. We tried to purchase a house that is now a daycare center that is out by the edge of the middle school. You know where that middle school is? You know that daycare center that's out there on you know what I'm talking about? We tried to buy that building. We actually were putting a bid in on that building, so that was like 4 or 5. We looked at a Catholic church building. Some of you were here for that in Faribault. We looked at the Catholic church building here. That's not the only one, though. There's been others, and I'm just trying to think. I can't remember. What's that? Dundas. We looked at the Dundas building twice, two different ones. But the yellow one, we looked at that a couple times, but the sprinkler, it wasn't going to work out. You know why it wasn't going to work out, folks? Because God didn't want me to have it. That's right. It wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't. You say, preacher, now what happens if you get 100 people? Well, we'll open up that divider right there. But if God so chooses to give us property, then we'll take it. Amen? If it's the Lord's will. But folks, I'm not strapping this church to $500,000 mortgage. Because that's what it takes to buy a building around here. You're gonna pay upwards of $200 at the cheapest. I mean at the dirt cheapest. If you found one they were giving away, you're gonna pay $200,000 for it. Unless it was that one building that they gave away. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one too. We were gonna try that one. Yeah, there's another one, sorry. So there's been about 10 of them. But you know what? God said no each time. No, no, no. You think about it. Now think about it. What if it was yes? Right now we'd be looking at a mortgage payment of $1,500 to $1,700 a month. Minimum. We'd be looking at insurance on that building. We'd be looking at heat on that building. What does that do? Well, first of all, it keeps the pastor working an outside secular job forever until you get enough people to get that other $2,000 in there. Amen? What else does it do? It enslaves the church. Are you going to be apt to want to plant a church when you're looking at $3,000 a month in expenses as a smaller church right when you get started? When you want to plant a church, you look at it, man, we can't plant a church. We're strapped with three. You know why churches don't? Well, I'll get to it. Anyway, many times when we plant a church, we believe that the lost will not come if we don't have a building. It's a source of great discouragement. I've heard pastors say, well, you're going to start a building fund? You're going to get that up there? No, I start a feed the pastor fund. That's what we'll start. We'll keep that one going. That's what we'll do. Amen? So he can be out working for the Lord. Amen? We enslave ourselves to a mindset that pastors will not plant churches or they get discouraged when planting if they cannot find a building that will house them. We look to it as like we look to it almost as an idol. It becomes idolatrous. As we look at it, we think that we have to have this in order to be a church. Folks, that's going to cause stumbling blocks and discouragements to planting churches. If you think you have to have that, we need to get back to simplicity, folks. And I'll give you some verses. The Lord said nothing in His Great Commission about a building. However, He did say this in 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Amen? Folks, the building has nothing to do with the church. It's just a meeting place. We really have too much of an attachment to a building. We really do. We really got to get over it. It's an unhealthy attachment. Amen? It's really Protestantism and Catholicism. It's not Baptist. I can prove that through history. I don't even have 9 hours into it. Well, I mean, that kind of 9 hours. So much so that this lust for property, they go into debt to purchase a building. Why do they do it? Why? Why is it done today? To attract people with a building. The lost crave that property, and you and I as the saved should be content with meeting in a house if need be, like the early church did from house to house. Let me ask you something. Let's say we couldn't meet here anymore. Would you not show up to church wherever we met? Would you not show up to my house in the living room if we met there? Think about it. Why? Does that make us less of a church? I'm not saying I want to do that. It's a great blessing to be here. Amen. That's right. Many of them have started that way. And if we had to do it all over again, if we had to do it, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Why? Because the church is the people, folks. It's not the building. Let's not worship a building. Let's never get ourselves into an unhealthy attachment to something. Anything you own, whether it's a vehicle. I just bought a nice vehicle, but you know what? It's a used one. But you know what? If God told me to get rid of it tomorrow, I'd sell it tomorrow. Amen. I would sell it tomorrow. Probably make some money. Amen. But I would. Because I don't love anything like that. Besides Jesus and my family. It's not a person, folks. They're objects. Listen to Romans chapter 16, verse number 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. That ungodly lust for property is Catholicism. It's Protestant nature. You look at the Catholic buildings. They have to build these monstrosities. Now, let's take it down a notch. How about the Baptists that are building these mega church complexes? I was in a debate online with somebody today about that. These complexes that are completely huge, and they look like big, huge theaters, and they got all these other things. I don't care how many people you have. You can have a million people in your church if that's what God gives you. But tell me something. If your mentality is right, you're preaching the gospel right, and you are planting churches, are you really going to build a $20 million facility or a $30 million facility? Do you know why church... Well, I'll get to it in a second here. Look, I'm not saying it's wicked to have a building. I'm not saying that. Don't walk away and say, well, you think it's wicked. No, I don't think it's wicked to have a building. I think it's a blessing from God when He gives you one. Amen? And I don't think it's wrong. But pastors that have come from fundamentalism have allowed themselves to get very discouraged by not having a building. Like it's attaining some spiritual success to have a building. I've seen it. I was that person. I'm confessing this, folks. I'm not saying I was completely innocent of this. No, I was guilty of this. I talked to him about it. Him and I, he's been here since the beginning, and I've talked to Lee about it. We sat there, and he warned me and told me over and over, well, we can't really afford that. I mean, we're buying something we can't really afford. We're going to get ourselves into a position where we can't get out of it. And what happens if we get stuck with this, and it's just us? What are we going to do? That's not faith. That's stupid. Now, he didn't say that to me, but that's the truth. And I listened to him. I said, you know, you're right. And also God said, no, you're not getting one. I don't care what strings you pull. I don't care who backs you. I don't care what it is. No. When I give it to you, I'll give it to you. And I happen to believe it for a different reason. See, I believe God's one day going to just give us one because I don't really care about it anymore. That's the first reason I really think He's going to. The second reason why I think He's going to is He's going to prove that He blesses this church and not somebody else. Do you understand that? God's not going to let somebody steal His glory. You understand that? God's going to give us something. I believe that wholeheartedly. But it'll be for His glory. That He might receive glory in the church. Because do you know what I was told? You're thinking, now, Pastor, are you being bitter? No, I'm smiling. See? I was told that, let's see. Now, listen to me. This is what I was told. Now, let's see if you can get a building in this state without my help. Well, now, if God was saying that to me, I'd be okay with that. But when another man says that to me, I think, what about Jesus? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is His. And I'm telling you something right now, until the hands were washed of that whole thing, we weren't going to see the blessings of God. Because when somebody says something like that, they're saying, you owe me. And I only owe allegiance to one. No? Let's see you do it without my staff. Let's see you do it without me. Okay, let's see what God does. We're still here, folks. Amen. It's enslaving. But I'll admit to you that about 7 months ago, I was completely liberated from that mentality. When I got back from Sandy Creek and I sat there and I got back and I was driving down the road, like I told you before the story, I was driving down the road and I looked. And all of a sudden, God just told me, this is why. That was an interesting time to tell me that, but he said, this is why. I'm like, this is why what? This is why I never gave you a building. This is why I never allowed any of that stuff. This is why I took you to Sandy Creek. This is why. Because you have a simple model. Now follow it. Now reproduce that same model. Because it's simple. And it can be done simply. Huh? You know how liberating that was? That same day I decided I'm not filling out any stupid reports anymore. I'm not answering any corporate mumbo jumbo anymore. I'm not filling in the blanks. I'm not turning in Sunday school rolls. I'm done with all that. Why is that? And I'll talk about that sometime too. Why is that? Because I don't see it in here and I don't see a reason for it. Because I'm not a business. This is a local church. Amen? And we need to get church back to being church, amen? And not every other thing going on, amen? It's simple. Buildings are meeting houses, folks. They're not for the church to stay shackled in or to strap the Lord's church with debt. They're for use, and the bulk of church activity should be done in the family setting, out in the world, to see the testimony of the church, not hidden behind the four walls. Everything we do in here, no. We got to have outreach ministries, amen. We got to get out there. This is just the place that the assembly meets. Amen. I can tell you, your Baptist forefathers met in caves. They had churches and houses. I'm going to read you more scripture. They had churches and houses. They met in caves. They were running. They were hiding. They were in back Obadiah Holmes. I'll get to that, but he was beaten. Why? An unlawful assembly. Where? They're meeting in somebody's house. They told him, you can't meet there. You can't have a church there. And we already have one. Then, listen to me. Let me tell you a story. I've heard of one church, 20 people in it, and they mortgaged an over 5,000 square foot building for 20 people. Now, a few years later, after 3 or 4 years, they have 50 people. Still not big enough to worry about a 5,000 square feet building. Still not. The church is strapped. They barely can pay the mortgage. And they're not using most of the 5,000 square feet. It's an overkill. And this right here is the exact thing that is happening in churches all over this country right now. And brother, that's why you have to drive so far. That's why, because they're in debt up to their eyeballs and they cannot plant more churches. It's not even on the radar because it's an empire mentality. Make it as big as you can get. Make it as flashy as you can get it. Make the building worth so much. Put everything into it. And we're not doing that. If we build a building, if God would happen to drop cash on us and we were to do that, we would buy a simple little one-room meeting house. Maybe a little fellowship hall. Amen? That we'd add on to it for the kids to run around and play and have fun and for us to eat in. Amen? And of course, some bathrooms. Amen. Why? Because I don't want it. You know, I don't want that great of a portion of the Lord's money going to brick and mortar. Do you understand how messed up that is when you and I really think about it? It's not right, folks. It's nowhere in the design of Scripture. So it stumbles. It causes church planning to stumble. It hinders it. People don't want it. They don't want it. They look at all those expenses. It's hard enough to go out and plant a church. It really is for a pastor to go out and do that. It really is very hard to do that. The rejection that he takes and everything else that he goes through. But it comes from an empire mentality that we have to have a big building for people to grow through and to attract the people of the church. I think people say, well, if you had your own building, maybe there'd be more people that would show up. Well, I probably wouldn't want those people there. Do you know what they do to our church? This is like a family. Yeah. This is like a family. If you won't come here and get to know these people here and love these people here and they'll love you, I don't want you to come here in the first place. Now, my Baptist brethren might be a little upset with me for making that statement, but that's okay. I'll say it again. I don't want them here in the first place. Because if that building means that much to you, you don't love Jesus Christ. You're coming for a show. And that's why, well, you don't have a youth department. There's another one we're going to hit one week. You don't have a youth department. Like I said, I used to hang my head about that one. Oh, man, we don't. I mean, we can't suck up gummy worms. And we can't do that. We don't have that big thing. I'm talking about for little kids. I'm talking for teenagers. We're running around accommodating teenagers. I ain't talking about little 3 or 4 or 5 year olds. I'm talking about teenagers. We're worried about accommodating teenagers. You got to have a lot of fun games for them. No, you do. You're the dad. You do it. Yeah, we've at least had the same thing said. Well, you don't have a youth department at that church. Yeah, I know, and your kid wouldn't like my preaching either. He'd be mad at the devil if he heard a lot of... That's right. That's right. It's called parents. That's right. We do have a youth department. It's called parents. You want to have an activity? We'll all get together and have fun. Hey, Ben? Why not? I like having fun. Hey, Ben? I enjoy it. Folks, we don't need a building to validate our church. If tomorrow this rental place were gone and it'd be too much for us to afford, you know what the nice thing about it is? If I preached a really hard sermon and made you all mad and you left tomorrow, I wouldn't owe any debt as the pastor. Neither would you. Amen? This contract is not a contract that locks you in. It's one that you go by a day-by-day basis. So if I said, well, we're done, then we wouldn't owe a dime. Isn't that a blessing? Now, I don't want this to be done, but I'm just saying, isn't that a wonderful thing, though? Yeah. Do you know what liberty that gives a preacher to preach? You know, I don't worry about if I'm going to make you, I don't worry about it anyway. Even if I had a building, I probably wouldn't. But I'm just saying, I don't worry about a $2,000 mortgage or a $3,000 mortgage. Some of these churches, I mean, tell you like a $4,000 or $5,000. I mean, yeah, they're huge. And then they go bankrupt. We'll talk about that in a minute. The churches. The last building project we almost got ourselves into, folks, was a big Catholic monstrosity that would have costed us $1,000 a month in the summertime. Seriously. I mean in the wintertime. It's like $1,000 a month in the wintertime. That Catholic church, it would have been horrible. And we'd have been stuck with it. And for what? To say we have a building? Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. There's another one. A church in his house. You see that? You know, when we met at that farm a few weeks ago, that was a blessed time, wasn't it? Amen. Hey, Ben, I'll never forget that. That was one of the funnest times I've ever had. One of the most cherished times I think I've had with this church. Everybody was in good spirits. Hey, Ben. Even Lee wasn't mad at Carrie. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Carrie wanted to pitchfork him. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Take that off tape. No, I'm kidding. But everybody was in a good mood. Amen. We had a good time. We enjoyed ourselves, didn't we? Amen. Lord blessed. But we were still a church even though we met out in the middle of a farm somewhere. I still don't know how to get there, Jeremy. Couldn't figure out how to get there for the life of me. Don't know how I got out of there. I think I used a GPS, but I don't remember. And don't ever try to follow him out to his house. You'll never find it. He'll ditch you somewhere. He drives fast. I got to quit confessing your sins, Jeremy. I really do. That's not very nice for me to do that. I'm sorry. But a desire for a building to validate my ministry will greatly discourage any pastor and be a stumbling block to the church planters and the church that's reproducing it. We got to have all this money. No, we don't. We don't. Amen? Right now, if we plant that church in New Richmond in the future, if the Lord's will, which I believe it is, I mean, until God shows me something differently, you know what's amazing about it? $100 a month they can meet somewhere. Now, folks, there's still a church, even if we meet there, that it's still church. Amen? Amen? Think about that. Even if we met in his living room, it's still church. Praise God. Don't ever forget that. Don't let that discourage you. That ought to encourage you that God's plan works. You don't need a big building for God's plan. Amen? Hey, guess what? We didn't have our own building, and some people in this room wouldn't be saved right now if it wasn't for a church being planted here. Amen? Think about that. Folks, debt has put many churches in a position where they cannot plant more churches because their mortgage is barely being covered. You ought to talk to a banker. He'll tell you the same thing. If they're mortgaging, that's why I don't believe we should ever do that. Amen? I'd rather meet in a pop tent than keep from planting a church because of a mortgage payment. I'm serious. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, God, well, we couldn't afford it. You see, God, this building costs us $4,000 a month or $2,000 or $3,000 and we can't reproduce ourselves because we have too much debt. Could you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to have to answer for that? God, we have millions of dollars worth of property. For what? Church is filing bankruptcy as corporations because they cannot pay for their buildings. It's a blight on the Lord's work. You just remember that. Right, that's right. Not caused by Him. But people will look and they'll blaspheme God for that when they look at the church. I'm talking about a person. I'm talking about the church says we can't pay our bills. Yet we're to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Do you understand that? We're to be the pillar and the ground of a truth. Now, what's wrong with that? Why does a church get in that position? Well, first of all, they never should be in that position of risk like that. Now, you can make a case and argument for personal debt. But there's a difference in a church. It's not even an organization. Amen? It's not a corporation. It shouldn't own anything in the first place. Amen? I believe it's an ungodly lust for a building. It's one of the greatest financial squeezes on churches today. I know that it keeps pastors from planting more churches because of the enormous responsibility to maintain and fund a building. You can't imagine the staff that people put in place. By the way, churches don't have staffs. Where do you get that from? Where do you see a staff in the Bible? You know who the staff is? You're looking at them. I mean, well, point a mirror up. You're looking at you guys. You're the staff. Amen? What does that mean? Do I have a staff? No, I don't have a staff. I have what's called church members. Amen? That they're the Lord's members. And if there's something that needs to be done, guess what? You're the ones that are going to do it. Amen? Come on! I'm not going to hire. We're going to hire a staff. For what? I don't care if we have 100 people in here. For what? I'm not hiring a staff. It's your church. Amen. It's the Lord's church, but you're members of His body. Now you take care of the body. You take care of the needs of the assembly. Amen. I'll do my part. You do yours. That's why God fitly joins the body together, doesn't He? My goodness, have we lost sight of what biblical Christianity really is? Why? We've delved into corporatism. That's why. That's what we've done. This is the body. What does the Bible say about the body? That it fitly is joined together, fitly and compacted together. As a compact, together, fitly, put together. What does that mean? Well, there's some in the body that are good at fixing cars. Amen? Yeah. There's some in the body that are good at administrative or paperwork. There's some that are good at putting programs together. Amen? There's some that are good at taking care of babies and helping with babies and assisting ladies and grandmas and people like that. There's some that are good for that. There's some that'll pray with you. There's some that have money that can help out extra where others can't. Amen? There's some that can play the piano. There's some that can lead the music. There's a pastor that is called to preach in the gospel and to be the under-shepherd of the church. Amen? But it's called a body. It's not called a staff. Amen? And then when you say, show me that one in the New Testament. Oh, Moses, he delegated. He had 12 different, they say, well, he had 12 different, Moses had 12 different assistants, and he did this. Are we understanding that Israel is Israel and the church is the church, and Paul laid down the order? Moses didn't lay down the order for the local New Testament church. Jesus Christ did, and then Paul reiterated and added to what the Lord had already put in there under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And what did he say? He said, well, if you need servants, they're called deacons. There's an office for them. Amen. And everybody else in the body, some are the toes, some are the hands, some are the fingers. I won't mention all the body parts. Amen. But you got to have all of them. Amen. Some are a pain in the neck. Not sure. But they're still part of the neck. Amen. Amen. That's so body. That's right. There's still a body part. Amen. But it's a body, folks. It's not a. It's not about a building. It's about you. It's about us. It's about Jesus. But it's about us worshiping Him. Amen. Someone asked me, did you start a building fund? I said, no, I didn't. If God wants us to have a building, He'll provide for a small body of believers. Now, we'll grow with the Lord's blessing, and God will provide. But right now, I'm more concerned with seeing that I don't work a secular job and my vision is not tainted by the world. 1 Corinthians 9:13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live with the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen? Men, the goal of this church, the goal for you ought to be not, well, we need a building. No, it's, let's make sure the pastor's taken care of so he can do the work of the ministry that God has called him to do. Amen? That ought to be the goal, men. That's the goal. It's not a building, it's, let's make sure the pastor is taken care of so the work of the ministry can be done. That he can live off the gospel. Amen? You see the difference? Well, what happens when that's the focus? Well, when that's the focus, I mean, the focus is always to honor God. Don't misunderstand me. But the effect of that will be this. That if the pastor is to live off the gospel and we make sure that the pastor is able to live off the gospel, then guess what? Then what can that pastor do? If you're not worried about a $4,000 mortgage every month, well, then that pastor can obviously take care of his family, feed his family. But he can also plant more churches. And guess what? He doesn't need $2,000 or $3,000 a month to plant another church. Amen? Let's put it back to the Bible. Paul was not worried about whether they could afford the mortgage payment or whether the pastor had an office or not. You know where my office needs to be if we have a building? At home. You don't have to build me a wing and say, this is the pastor's office. I don't need one. I have one at home. Amen? I have one at home. If you need to talk to me, I'll come to you or you can come to me. Amen? Folks, look at the first church meeting houses in America. Little one-room congregations, no Sunday school classrooms, families were all together. You know what? It was still church. Hey, I challenge you to study something. It might make you mad, though. But if it makes you mad, just understand that it's true, okay? And when you study history, history has a funny thing of just... It's hard to run from that when you see the facts of historical facts. Historical fact is that the social gospel was developed... The social gospel is what really started the movement of segregation in the church. It was a social gospel. Well, first it was we need to reach these poor kids that aren't educated. So Robert Rakes did that. And then after that it was, well, let's incorporate the other people into it. Let's incorporate the church fathers into it. So the fathers would come along. And then they said, but did you know that Sunday school was never intended for saved kids? Or kids of parents that were already saved? Amen? It wasn't. It was for lost kids. It was for those that were unchurched. Now, if we ever started a ministry on a Saturday or on another day, amen, and we wanted to have lost children, bring them in and preach the gospel to them and do something like that. We can honestly have a great discussion about that, amen? And we could look at doing something like that. But that's not church. That's outreach. That's evangelism. Church is the congregation, the body coming together. Amen? That's what it's all about. I can show you through history if you think, you say, well, I don't like that. Well, you know what? I didn't like it either when I first saw it. I still don't like it that much, to be honest with you. Because once I studied history, I figured out, well, you know, this isn't quite biblical. What? I mean, it's not how our churches were. Amen? Folks, I can't run from facts. I can't turn my back on the truth and say, well, that's not the truth. I'm not saying it's evil, wicked, and carnal. What I'm saying is that it wasn't the way it was in the New Testament. They had little one-room congregations, folks. They had no junior church rooms. Today we need buildings to accommodate all the programs, but not if we return to God's program. Do you understand that? If we return to God's order, we wouldn't have to have that big junior church building. Well, this is for our junior church building. You know why? Because they would be in the assembly together, during the preaching hour, listening to the preaching of God's Word. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's not. It's actually a blessing. Church planting would be simple if we did not have the idea in our head that a building will validate our church and we have to accommodate everybody in every ministry. If we were conducting church according to the Bible, then it would greatly simplify and remove stumbling blocks and we could plant more churches. You say, but people that come to our assembly will not understand if we don't have a desire to purchase land and a building. Then pastor, teach them the Bible. Teach them. Amen? Teach them, say, no, you see, we don't have a building fund and we don't have a desire to build a big building. You know what we have a desire to do? The same thing we're doing right here over in that city and that city and that city and that city. Our vision is for people, not for brick and mortar. Amen? That simplifies it, doesn't it? Don't you think you could get, if that person has any spirituality about them at all, they're going to get more excited when you tell them, well, yeah, we want to start another church in the next city over. So we don't want to get strapped with cash. We want to be able to plant a church right over there to help those people that never hear the gospel being preached. And they don't have a church in their town. And they got to drive all this way for a good Bible preaching church. Now, if those people don't care about that, then you don't want them in your church anyway. Amen? We look what we want to do in New Richmond. We want to plant a church there to reach that community for Christ. So family doesn't have to drive 70 miles to come to church. Why can't we just get back to having church? What's wrong with that? Is there something wrong with that today? To obey the Great Commission, to take care of the preacher or the mission pastor or the church planting evangelist or the missionary, not spend the Lord's money on a building that will perish one day and be gone. How much could churches do today if they planted churches instead of having an empire mentality? Think about that. These big churches out there, I mean good-sized churches. 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with covetous. Notice that word, I'm stopping right there for a reason, covetous. I believe we have been coveting after the world's design of business and turned the church into a business and we're preaching. Our preaching is not fiery because we owe a mortgage. And we don't want to offend. You know how many churches would never preach that on feminism or any of those family things? And we have a staff to pay. These people, I have a responsibility here. This staff has to be paid. And if I rock the boat too much on issues, I've heard pastors say this thing, if I rock the boat too much, people are going to leave. So what you're saying is if I obey God too much, people are going to leave. Folks, I don't want to be that way. I don't. You know, there's a great chance for a pastor that he could be swayed to preach softer because he has that mortgage to pay and has a staff to pay and everything else. God, help us not to be a respecter of persons, but to preach the whole counsel of God. God, help us not to be caught up in a building craze, and then the pastor softens things, or the church softens her stand on issues in order to keep the crowd. Many pastors could not discipline members for coveting because we're guilty of it ourselves. It's a sharp reality. I was guilty of it, being upset because others had buildings and we didn't. I'm just being honest with you folks, I was guilty of the same thing. Until God freed me and showed me why. I'm not saying that all churches that have buildings are wrong. I'm saying that if we enslave ourselves to it, then we are wrong. And it'll be a stumbling block to plant more churches. I watched what happened to people around this area. How people have told me that they've never heard the gospel preached in 14 out of the 15 churches in this area right here, that they'd never heard the gospel preached before. They've been to church after church and nothing, week after week. Now, if you're that person, how many more like you are out there? How many more towns need little Old Paths Baptist churches or whatever somebody else calls them? How many of them need it, and how much more can we do? If we see that a building doesn't validate us, and all in God's timing, but if we go in debt for it, we're enslaved to it, and we enslave the Lord's church to debt, and it's not right. It's not biblical. Think about it. A stumbling block, owning property or buying, purchasing property is a stumbling block. Being enslaved to that mortgage is a stumbling block to church planting.